Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Powered by Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter. Shaping and building Australia together. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on Sydney's SEN 1170 AM.
Come on, come on, let's get together. You know we made a vow to leave one another ever.
Friday morning, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. No Brandy. In fact, we'll try and get him on the phone line this morning because he will be on his way to Japan. Matt Russell in the co-host chair. Matty just coming out of his trailer as we speak, just getting the nails and the feet done before the start of the show, the hair. Welcome to all of you listening right now on SEN 1170 AM in Sydney and our listeners tuning in on the SEN app. Let us know where you're listening from this morning. Just a shout out, just a chat. Let's do it. Great Southern Bank Open Line is open for you, 1300 01 1170. But I think there'll be more than just shout outs this morning. There's a few burning issues to discuss, and I barely know where to start. Matty Russell, do we go with kickoffs? Do we go with the actual form, the Rabbitohs defence? What happened there? Are the Roosters the real deal suddenly? Are the Warriors not quite where we had them? All of these storylines out of the NRL yesterday, and the AFL has opened up the golden point debate. Oh, well, it's all happening, Matty.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning. What about the last tackle when it came to rugby league on Anzac Day? Tane Milne, what was he thinking? There's a topic to talk about this morning. Oh. That was an ugly, ugly tackle. Well,
okay, let's go there. How long should he get? There will be people tuned in now that would have tuned off before what was literally the last seconds of the match, Matty. Take us through the incident. So
Cam Munster standing in a tackle, multiple players around him, game dead and buried. We're just heading towards full-time and handing out the Anzac medal and going to bed. And Tane Milne, just javelin-like, dives in at the lower legs, somewhere around knee, ankle, shin area of Cam Munster in a wicked tackle that looked horrible. And thankfully, even though I think he was shocked and a little bit sore, no serious injury to Cam Munster, but it could have been syndesmosis, could have been knee, could have been fractured tib or fib. Had that happened, it's 12 weeks plus. As it is, maybe four. I don't know. But,
I'd go more. I'd just Tane Milne, I tweeted out last night on X that, sarcastically, of course, that he just must have realised he had a holiday booked overseas. And he thought, I better get sent off. And the referee did, even though there was almost zero left on the clock, he still got sin bin. But that offence was so blatant. You can say, that's just out of the blue. Well, it's not actually with Tane Milne. If you go over his record, he has this a few years back there, last game of the season, cost him a World Cup. He got done for 6 weeks just for idiotic sprinting in, doing things. I'd still go. I don't think there had to be injury. I think every player in the game would support a tough penalty on this one because it was so irresponsible.
It was just so
dangerous.
It was inexplicable, and I know what you are saying, that injury shouldn't come into it, but it does, and it will. And because Cam Munster seemingly is A-OK, then it will be on the lighter end of anything that he could have copped. He took a huge risk there. Big picture, Andrew, 36 tries scored yesterday, and I was thinking this morning driving up, only a couple of weeks ago, listening to Graeme Annesley's weekly football briefing, he was saying how close and exciting the games are. Well, through our eyes, they're still exciting, but they all of a sudden haven't been so close for a couple of rounds. We saw those blowout games last round, and then yesterday, 36 tries and 50 points scored in consecutive games. I think Dan Ganane said in commentary last night, it's the first time in 10 years we've had 50 points accrued by a winning team on the same day.
Just on South Sydney. Okay, let's get on to South Sydney defence. South Sydney fans, talk to us. Get on the text 0457 736 736. The tally now of points conceded coming off a bye, and there was some really strong commentary on Fox League in the post-match last night. Both Michael Ennis and Brandy went on the attack. They've now conceded 250 points for the season. That's horrible. On the back of everything going wrong from round 12 last year, that was the turning point game where they conceded 36 against Parramatta and then barely conceded under 25 or 26 a game for the rest of the season. But Michael Ennis just said that, you know, he pointed out chronologically, you know, everyone's under pressure at the club, but you had the bye. You know, you had 2 weeks to almost do a reset, reboot. It's Anzac Day. You know, like, you don't need to get pumped up. It's so special. You know, adrenaline pumping, everything going for them. South Sydney come out on Anzac Day and concede 54. It is an embarrassment. It's, you know, I know Jason Demetriou said world-class opposition and all of that, but South Sydney had some world-class players as well. I mean, the defensive issues of South Sydney, I said it looked real to me right from round one and round two, and they'd conceded 11 tries across round two. They aren't coming back. Brandy had them as a bottom two or three side. That all happened post-match last night. And do you sit back and cop it? Like, you've had a David Fernandy coaching staff, all these things, Matty. I think, they're gone.
Yeah.
The Rabbitohs are gone.
They are. And you know, they conceded 10 tries last night. What will really pain South Sydney fans are the patches they showed last night. Those repeat sets which led to the try in the first half. In the second half, they scored 3 tries in 9 minutes. At one point, you thought, oh, hang on. Against the odds, could they do something here? No sooner had you started to think maybe we're in for a closer game than all of a sudden Melbourne kicked again. And the summary out of that game, Andrew, is that when Melbourne wanted to put the accelerator down, when they needed to score points, it seemed like they did so with embarrassing ease. And no matter how good Souths were in patches, they were beaten 54-20 by a team that, when it needed to, scored at will. So what happens now? The coach had that game to save his career. They didn't win the game, but they showed some ticker. They went into a bye, and the limelight went away from them. What happens following this game?
Well, they play Penrith. That's what does happen next. The immediate future is they play Penrith next. They're now conceding 37 points a game on average. 37. Let that number sink in. South fans, talk to us this morning. What should happen next? I mean, and here's the sad thing. I don't know. Look, I could do anything, really, but I don't think defensive issues, you don't turn around during the season. I don't believe. I don't think you can turn. You can't turn around something that has been there and blatantly apparent since round 12 last year. It hasn't just emerged this season. It started from round 12 last year. They are now in a worse position. They're not going to win. The South Sydney side, we said, well, I can still score 30 points, but, you know, well now I'd that's not enough when you're conceding 37 a game.
I want to hear from Edgewater on the Edgewater Homes text line from South Sydney fans, 0457 736 736. We had one earlier on from someone who is obviously a Melbourne Storm fan, 087. From Queenslander to the end, great work from the Storm last night. They look as much a premiership threat as they have been for a few years. As a diehard Queensland supporter, I'm going to be happy to see Melbourne deliver that sort of form in the Origin arena. And you go back to last night, Andrew. Hughes on the right, Munster on the left, the spine outstanding, Coates awesome before he was injured, and Cam Munster, 4 try assists and a try. Late start to the season, boy, he's back. He's back.
Pappenhausen, very good. It's great when the big four combine, and there were many times last night where it was Grant, Hughes, Munster, Pappenhausen. They're great players to watch. Now, we have a problem with kickoff returns. I saw it the other week. I've called a couple of games lately. Sam McIntyre for the Cowboys, the middleman, 3. It's just, it's more likely to happen than not happen that there's going to go something's going to go wrong. Kickoff carry, man running bolt upright at high velocity, has three defenders coming at him. There is no target area really other than I'm staying bolt upright. No one's taking him around the hips. Everyone goes in high. And the middle player, you can almost do a split screen. Sam McIntyre for the Cowboys and what happened yesterday with Moses Early. The middle defender has no target, nowhere to go, no control of his arms. Like he's just wedged in there. And head collision, he gets bumped, he's off balance, he's just a sitting duck. And Moses Suli is knocked out yesterday. What are we going to do about it, Matty?
We're not going to ban.
What can we do?
We're not going to ban the long kickoff, are we? Are we going to, as Paul Kent pointed out on NRL 360, make people change their tackling techniques somehow? Does that solve the problem? Are there greater experts than me that will say, no, you've got to ban the long kickoff? Oh, I would hate to see that happen. It's a part of the game that I love. And what about the theatre yesterday with Jared Waria-Hargreaves returning those kickoffs? The old bull, fearless on Anzac Day, inspired by a game that he holds so dear to his heart. It was one of the fantastic elements of that game yesterday. I could hear you excited in commentary, and I was sitting on the front of the lounge watching it, wanting to see Jared take another carry. I knew as I was watching it and I saw Suli go off that the debate regarding long kickoffs was going to rage all week. We won't have a say in it. It'll be the medicos. The medicos will have the say in it. They will say to the game, no, we need to make a change here given concussions, given the way the game is going. We don't get a say in it. It'll be, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever stance you want to take, the doctors who decide whether we have the long kickoff in the game going forward. Do you agree?
The first point has to be I think back to last year's Origin series. I even think back to the start of last year's grand final that it was a little timid. Now I know that sounds a little odd, but I reckon the coaches control this. They can pull back. The first tackle doesn't need to be as ferocious. Second and third can be when they're suddenly running from 10 metres, but the first one doesn't have to be. And I reckon they pulled it back in Origin last year as a result of the previous season. Remember, there were three players knocked out inside the first couple of minutes.
Yep. Like carnage.
It was Cameron Murray, was it Lindsay Collins and all of that? Because it can be carnage. It's just these kamikaze hit-ups. And I reckon they pulled back in Origin because they said, boys, we can't have that. Like the coach said, just pull back. Let's make our tackle rather than the big collision. We'll put our imprimatur on the next few tackles to set the speed. And I reckon last year's grand final was the same. I reckon the two coaches thought about it. Now, I think the coaches do have a say in this. I think they can say, no, boys, you've got to sort it out amongst yourselves. You're sprinting down there. It's your job. Yesterday, Moses Suli and Jaden, so it's your job with the first carry.
Yes.
We're not sending three in. Mm. It is the three in. You're still going to have the injuries, but three ins, there's no control over the tackle. There's no target. There's nowhere to it when three blokes are all going up high.
To me, watching
it, just doesn't work.
There were four blokes involved in that tackle. Waria Hargreaves, the ball carrier, three defending Dragons. There were four individuals who were swept up in the occasion, who'd absolutely loved the pre-game ceremony, who knew they were playing in front of a sold-out house. Anzac Day, let's rip in, let's just throw ourselves into this. And the result was Moses Suli threw himself in and then got dragged out for the rest of the game after 60 seconds.
There's no technique when three people are going in all upright, all in the same position. But let's hear your solution. Let's hear your solution this morning to deal with this. If we had to do something this week, what would we do? Or do we just stay as it is? 1-300-01-1170 or text 0457-736-736. Get inventive. Come up with something else if you can. We want to hear about it. The form of the Warriors, very quickly.
Yeah.
Is it a slump? What are they reading their own press? Is there something doing them? And yesterday again started really well. They've done that a few games this year. And
bang. Andrew, I jumped on X because I thought last night, yesterday afternoon, watching that game, I've seen this before. And sure enough, the Warriors' four losses this year, they led Cronulla 12-0, they led Melbourne 26-18, they led St George Illawarra 6-0 early, they led Gold Coast 12-0. And I said that in all their losses this season, the Warriors have led normally early and often seemingly very easily. And then to me, it seems like they think, well, yes, we are a good footy team. We keep getting told we're a good footy team. We've established the lead. We can just coast or cruise from here, go through the motions. Well, no. There are four losses now in the rearview mirror after what's teasing your fans by starting so well in games. Even if they get two of those four losses, it's a different position on the ladder. So they are a good team. I'm not willing to say that they're not going to be top four and premiership hopefuls back into the year, but they need to apply themselves, shoulder to the wheel for the whole 80 minutes, boys. Is that too simplistic a take?
Yes, and we have plenty of Warriors fans from across the ditch that are tuned in to breakfast, so let's hear from you as well. What's your advice to the AFL? AFL fans, have you say today? Golden point? Do you want golden point? It's just a simple yes or no, really. And how would it work? I mean, what's the time period? It's not just yes or no. So if you say yes, then you have to decide. Do you want fixed period where you play for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know how many more minutes they want to tack on, or do you play the actual golden point? Like in AFL, you know, it could be a very messy behind. It could be
a golden point or golden goal. The trouble with
a golden goal, yeah, that's right. But they do have the option, so they have to work out then how they'd want it to work. What's your do you have a thought on it, mate?
Well, should they just go with a draw? Given that NRL, no, I'd like them to play on. I'd like to get a result in the modern game. Now, the AFL purists will want my head on a stick. That's fine. But, Andrew, when it comes to golden goal or golden try, as I've been thinking about in recent weeks, what happens if the team kicks, in AFL's case, 7 behinds, leads by 7, so that doesn't finish, not golden point, and then the team kicks a goal, they're actually behind on the scoreboard, but they've been first to kick the golden goal. Same in rugby league.
I have the solution.
You kick three penalties, you lead by 6, but the other team scores the golden try.
Yes.
How does it work?
No, I do have the solution.
What is it?
I thought about that, Matt, before when it's been put up before. Well, I think it's first to 4. So a try wins it automatically, or if you kick 2 penalty goals, or if you kick a 2-point field goals, or 2 ones and a 2. I think if you 4 is the minimum that in golden point. So if you get 4 in front, therefore golden try wins it.
Yes,
a golden try wins it, or 4 in front. I think, and in AFL it would be goal wins it, or if you get 6 in front.
Yeah.
I think that would be written in. That would be. But anyway, AFL fans, you're more invested, let's be honest, you're more invested in the game than Andrew Voss or Matt Russell, because we live in this rugby league bubble. What do you want? Do you want golden point? My advice to you is, yeah, go for it. Add it in.
Yeah.
Add another strand of controversy and, you know, umpires putting away the whistle in golden point. You'd love it. You'd love golden point. Go for it.
Thousands of people at the MCG yesterday, as they left, would they have liked to have an extra period to try and decide this game?
Yeah, go for it, guys. Go for it. All right. This is the place to talk sport on a Friday morning. So much happened yesterday. We've got a whole lot of grabs to run. We'll run the thoughts of Trent Robinson, Shane Flanagan in a moment. Flano was in pretty good form for a bloke who'd lost by 50, looking ahead to the derby with the Sharks. We've got all that still to come right here on Breakfast with Vossie and Matt Russell. And who are we here for, Matty?
Bryden's lawyers. Bryden's lawyers. If you've got any reason to have legal concerns, your first stop, Andrew, Bryden's lawyers.
Their phone number is 1-800-848-848.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy today with Matt Russell. The ring in. We are powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. The text line is going off thanks to Edgewater Homes. We'll get to that in a moment. Firstly, Andrew, the weather today, mostly sunny again. Wasn't Anzac Day fantastic? We'll rinse and repeat today. Tops in the low 20s, 22 in the city, 23 out west. Tonight at Brookvale for Para against the Seagulls, about 20 degrees. And you know, I know that you normally pick a country around the world. Well, my youngest son is in Peru at the moment. So for interested listeners, Lima, Peru today, a top of 24 degrees, small range, 18 to 24. Mm. There you go.
He's been arrested. He's in a cell getting us on the app. Yeah, shout out to you and your 25 inmates. Good stuff. Cellmates there. This one, Vossi and Maddie, Big Ted on the first tee, Clark's Beach Golf Club in Auckland. He says, south to the 2024 Titanic. R.I.P. JD. That's a very sad text. But thank you, Big Ted, on the first tee. Sounds good. Clark's Beach Golf Club in Auckland. Let's get straight to the Great Southern Bank Open Line at 27 after 6. This is the home of Sport SEN. And Mark wants to talk to us about kickoffs. Mark of Cronulla, Maddie.
Good morning. I think it's so simple. The onus is 100% on the player to not knock yourself out in the first tackle of the game. You're letting your teammates down by going in for that hero moment. And if the player can't see that, then it's on the coach to, you know, to say to the boys, you know, don't make your first tackle of the game your last tackle of the game.
So fair point, Mark. Rather than saying changing the game or banning long kickoffs, put the onus back on the players to change their technique and not let their team down by being KO'd first play of the game.
I agree. The coach has to, Mark, you go along with this, has to literally say, no, it is not the job of three players to come up with the first tackle of the match. Let's get... It's your job and your job. We're kicking to the left side. We know who's carrying the ball back. Then the captain just said, mate, it's you and you. It's not you and you. Just work it out. And then they do have some control over technique, don't they, Mark?
100%. And if the player can't take that responsibility of the coach wouldn't allow you to go in and like put up with an elbow or a high tackle, first tackle of the game. It's the same result. If you get sent off, you let your team down. But if you knock yourself out, you let your team down.
Mark, good
pretty
call.
Strong call to start.
I reckon there'll be plenty of support along those lines already on the text line. 635 says, boys, 30 kickoffs, one injury. Surely they don't change the kickoff. Can have the same damage from a long kick in general play. Well, that is true, but generally the long kicks in general play are backs coming head-to-head, the chase line and the fullback or wingers, whereas those kickoffs, it's the alpha males. It's the big forwards who want to assert their authority and want that big statement carry early on, Vossi.
Yeah, no, and it is different technique on kick chases. And you watch Penrith. You watch Penrith this weekend. They grab the man. They're not looking for the big hit incident, but they will hold him up so they can then take him back. And they do it. They do it better than any team. They will do it the first three tackles of a kick chase set. They hold the player up and they will make sure they take them back 3 metres. No momentum at all. They'll do it on play two, play three. They don't go for the massive collision. Simon of Belmore wants to talk about JWH's first hit up of the match. Simon, what have you got?
G'day, guys. How are you? I went to the game yesterday with my mates. We are Dragon supporters. Okay. That Hargrave, he came in with the elbow or forearm. He should be sent off, okay? Or Simbi.
Cracking jacks? Okay, are you cracking jacks on? Or did you get on the hoops yesterday? What are you saying?
They got charged last week, but they never get sent off. How come the wrist is always seems to get escaped with later?
Well, Simon,
you're cracking jacks.
You are allowed to use your forearm as a bumper bar. You can't lift it into the throat or chin or head, but I don't think that Jared went anywhere illegal with that yesterday. It was. Well, Andrew, you called it. You studied it. What happened to Moses Suli? It wasn't anything to do with Jared's
forearm. Moses Suli, first of all, gets bumped off balance by his own teammate, Jaden Sua on his right. That then pushes Suli a little left. He has then no control, no balance going into the tackle at all. He is wedged between two teammates. And look to me that, like as Wariaga, as he set turns on, he got hit flush on the head collision. And then Jared Waerea-Hargreaves with momentum, naturally the forearm just comes up and you could take a freeze frame and say, oh, look at that. No, the first point of contact that does the damage to Moses Suli is, I believe, Jared Waerea-Hargreaves' head.
And Simon, you're not by yourself because on the text line, Martin says, good morning, team. Please explain, exclamation mark. Didn't JWH have his elbow raised? Why was there no penalty? Did I see it incorrectly? Regards, Martin. So Simon, Martin is on your side.
Okay. All right, Simon. Anyway, glad you had a day out with the mates on Anzac Day. That's what it should be about. I disagree with you and others, but we're here to discuss, debate, dissect all of those things. Football Desk, Manchester City, just before the news. Matthew, what have we got?
They are putting Brighton to the sword. Man City up into second place, a point off the pace. 71 minutes gone, Man City in complete control, 4-0 over Brighton.
All right, let's go to the news. We're powered by Kubota. You want to check out the tractors, the lawnmowers, the Land Pride attachments, and of course, if you want a sound system at home, you think of one word, Sonos. Back with more in a moment. Friday morning. We're nice and up. I mean, it is easy to do the job a day after such a humongous Thursday. And for many of you, probably having a long weekend, Brooksy he's doing it tough today. He's left his buttons on. He's off the pace. Come on, Brooksy, mate. You've got to pull your act together. He posts a tweet yesterday. Nathan Brooks posts a tweet. Him and his girl out at the football. You know, here we are, 41,000, blah, blah, blah. Mate, I think we need to bring Brooksy on air because I think he got hammered. The before shot was horrible. Brooksy, come round on air, mate. We need to talk to you because you need a little bit of therapy today. Brooksy is representative Dragons fans who went along with hope in their hearts yesterday, you know, sitting 4-3 and playing the Roosters, Anzac Day. Vossy's tipping them to win. Brandy's tipping them to win, you know. I'll go out with a girl. We'll have a few beers, through frothies. Great stadium. Brooksy, how are you, mate? Let's cue the sad music if you can, Alex. If there's some sad music to be played, I think we need to hit the sad music now because this is going to be a really sad tale. Oh, I might even try and hunt up the tweet from Brooksy while I'm at it. Nathan? Nathaniel?
Yes.
Talk us through it. It's very loud, that music.
Very loud, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a sad morning. It was a sad night. Many tears have been had.
Yeah.
Look, Vossie, it was great. The stadium's amazing. The walk-up was great. The buzz was there. You're walking down Driver Avenue. You get to the game, Jaden Sewer scores the try, even though we lose Moses Suli. And then it was just try after try after try. Yeah. All, like, there was no complaint. You couldn't complain. Yeah. You just had to cop it. I stayed there for 50. I stayed there for 60. Yeah. And I was telling other Dragons
fans. What
about
some of the responses you're getting? Oh, I'm looking at your post again now. I'll hold it up to the camera here for those watching us online.
It was a great
Brooksy
shot.
Brooksy there. Your old Dragons, red V jersey. You're punching way out of your weight division. You got, you know, your other half. You got a tray of beers, great view. You know, and you're saying, let's go, Dragons, is the comment. And then you get the replies you get, dead set.
I haven't looked at them. Is it like a mean tweet sort of segment?
Yeah, someone just said, Vossie, go on.
Brooksy said, at least we scored the try of Anzac Day. Was there a better try than the Sewer try for the Dragons yesterday? It went through 9 sets of hands. I rewound it and counted it. It was a good try, but boy, if that's your Anzac Day highlight when you get beaten 60-18, it's a tough day.
Yeah.
The play was to leave after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do the whole walk in, see the last post, the ode, watch that amazing try, go home and get ready for the Storm Rabbitohs game.
Yeah. Anyway, at least you got your health. Well done, Brooksy. You got the big derby. There he is, reflective of the Dragon fan, trying to put on a brave face today, but disappointing. Now, the kickoff. What are we going to do there? This one, good morning, gents. Do you think the NRL should trial an NFL-style kickoff and then restart at the 20? That from the Bell Bounty Bronco. There's a one into the mix. You're a no on that one.
Well, I don't want any change to the kickoffs. But you know, I fear that greater minds than ours are going to have the final say. I think that the medicos, the doctors, might have a look at this and say, no, we can't have this unless there's another option.
Okay, next one. This is Mark Summers, says enjoying the show. Thank you, Mark. He says the only way to negate or eliminating taking the long kickoff out of the game is taking the same approach as the AFL and Rugby Union and change the height of a legal tackle to below the sternum area or below the nipple line,
Mark's a great fan of Fox Sports News. Mark, thanks very much for your involvement there on the text line, but I don't like that, Andrew. I think the most valid argument we have so far is putting the onus on the coach and the players to come up with tackling techniques that do not lead to those results themselves.
Okay, let's listen to the coaches. Trent Robinson had his say on the kickoffs. He's the coach of Jared Rea-Hargreaves, who took that dramatic first hit up. This is what Robbo had to say after the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really hard one, you know. I love kickoffs. I think, you know, that set a statement to how we wanted to play today. But we don't want to see that as well from Moses. So, yeah, it's a really hard one for me. I think we can see we're getting to the point that needs to shift. They tried to do it through the short kickoffs. It's not enough. Field position is still a really big part of the game. so you need to get down there. So I think we're getting closer to a change soon there.
Closer to a change soon. That is a very much a leaving the door open to anything. It could be extreme. Now, Shane Flanagan also spoke on the issue, Matty. Let's hear some balance. He's from the team that had the player wounded yesterday.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, we want to play this really tough gladiator sport, and we want to get down there, and especially off kickoffs, and have good contact with the front rowers. And but we see it too often. I don't know the answer, but yeah, we see it too often. And you know, when it happens to one of your players, and it's just not nice to see. And I don't know how we stop it unless we start, you know, start with a play the ball of a kick of a game, and that'd be not something that I'd like to see. But we need to definitely look in the modern game. We can't have these concussions. We need to look after the players, and you know, the short dropouts and all that sort of stuff has probably changed it a little bit. But once again, I don't know the answer.
So both coaches basically conceding that change is coming, while they're hesitant to say it should come. They say that it's coming, and there are differing views on the Edgewater Homes text line, Andrew. Here's one from 331. How many concussions happen from kickoffs across the year? What are the numbers? Typical knee-jerk reaction in footy where we look at a couple of incidents and not use actual facts when it comes to issues within the game. I would be surprised if there are double-digit percentages in terms of concussions from kickoffs. Nothing to see here. Thank you, PJ. But then we go back to 502. Carroll knocked out Harrigan in a one-on-one kickoff from kickoff tackle. So we take three guys out of a tackle and it will stop concussions from a kickoff? ? Been happening for years, boys.
Yeah, we don't get too many of the one-on-one. The Carroll, as I said, there'll still be concussions from time to time with a two in the tackle or even one in the tackle. Of course it happens in the game. But I'm just saying when there is three, there is absolutely every time. There is no technique on three rushing in on one. There is no technique. No one said, I'm going low, you take high, I'll wrap the ball up. There's none of that. It's just three 10 pins getting in front of a bowling ball. It's a collision. It's a collision. It's not a tackle. It's a collision. They're not going down to tackle him. They are going down to collide. So somehow we have to think we need a little more control over that collision rather than the tackle. That's why I say it. Oh, no. Gary of Newtown's there. Well, I think we can go to him before the break. Let's go. Gary of Newtown, let's share his thoughts. Gary, are you the current or ex-Parramatta coaching staff? Let's clear that up first of all.
Can I make a couple of points and I'll answer that question? I want to make a couple of points and then I'll get to Parramatta. Just on yesterday's game, the Roosters played up-tempo and direct, and the Dragons haven't got a plan B. They play physical. Outside of that, they can't maintain it for 80 minutes. The coach to say there's not much between the two teams, he's got it badly wrong. I just want to move on to the Parramatta. And Parramatta, it's round seven. They lost against the Dolphins, Tigers and the Raiders. I'd cop that in round 20. So it's too much talk about this is what we're doing. I say this to the Parramatta players first. Match the will of the opposition. Each individual, match the will of the opposition. And if you can't do that, ask yourself, why can't you? And then the coaching staff improve the players on the basic skills of the game. What's needed, the 1%. We both do that, we'll be there when the whips are cracking in September.
Gary has spoken. The sermon from the Rock. He's sort of gone psychologist this week. So we're working on attitude. We're working on headspace of players and then the coaches, of which Gary was one. But there we go. It's a very interesting role he has with Parramatta.
Manly v. Para tonight is intriguing because of what happened in Darwin last week, because of the way the leadership group spoke during the week. Time to put words into actions tonight for Pines Park. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and this text as we go to a break. Hello, Sailors. I was waiting for South Sydney to break into the Village Peoples in the Navy yesterday in their choice of Anzac jerseys. I will say this. I did think of this. If I was in commentary yesterday, I think I think we missed the opportunity to say they're all at sea. They were all at sea last night, weren't they? Sometimes when a ball went outside. So thank you for that text, 0457 736 736. Powered by Kubota, The Breakfast Show, tractors, lawnmowers, land pride attachments, all the gear. Check it out.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers and jump on the Great Southern Bank open line to get in the running for the Club Med Caller of the Year. You can go to Bali. It's worth 10K. Why not get part of that? A sports update thanks to who, Andrew Voss?
Glow Fire Pits. And to start the fire, you could throw Dragons fans, you could throw your grand final tickets in there on the text there saying you could... What's that sponsor? It is Glow Fire Pits. Now, IPL Royal Challengers Bangalore winning by 35 runs over the Sunrisers Hyderabad, which is Travis Head's team. Not able to back up his midweek heroics. He was out for one overnight. Pat Cummins made 31 off 15. Virat Kohli for the Royal Challengers 57. Cam Green 37 not out. 17 sixes hit last night. So the overs and unders, the overs get up again. Now, the AFL, Collingwood drew with Essendon yesterday, 12-13 apiece, 85-85. And the Giants, can we cue the song? Because the Giants, have a go. Yeah. Woo.
Well, there's a big, big sound from the west of the town.
I love that song. That's why I quibble them up after. There's a big, big... And the Giants won 17-11, 113 to Brisbane's 8-11, 59. So, again, the two grand finalists, not quite where they were this time or last year. Brisbane, they got problems. They got issues.
And the Swans, they're in Melbourne against Hawthorn on Sunday. Now, NBA playoffs, Heat, they upset the Celtics 111-101. The Heat head back to Miami with a series tied at one. OKC thumped the Pelicans by 32. SGA, 33 points on only 19 shots.
OKC, and Josh Giddey. Oklahoma come on. Like, what if, OKC, GBH, what are we on about
We're
here?
On time pressures here, Andrew. We've got a text line to get to. We've got callers to get to.
Can we just do the updates in English rather than Brooksy's?
Josh Giddey. Yeah. Joshua Giddey.
JG. JG.
Son of Warwick Giddey. Dropped 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in the win, yeah. Andrew. You're following. Game threes today. Bucks v. Pacers. Clippers v. Mavs or Mavericks, Andrew. And Wolves v. Suns. Now to the Premier League. Man City 4-0 over Brighton. Very close to full time. Three first-half goals from City, including a double from Phil Foden.
See, Brooksy, just so you know what it's like to work with Nathan Brooks, and normally he's on the run home with Joel and Fletch, but he's sort of been drafted into our camp for a little while. But he's been parachuted in like Dave Ferner to work on our defence. He's a high-fiving bloke. He's like, was it Putty in Seinfeld? Like he leaves it hanging out there. He wants a high-five. He wants you to bring it in. He loves fist-bumping. He's just that personal contact sort of over-the-top.
He wants to bring breathing exercises into the morning.
Yeah, he does.
On the quarter hour, we just pause and do a breathing exercise for 5 minutes.
Of course, rekindle the spark with Glow Fire Pits and enjoy your outdoor moments for longer. And I really do encourage you to have a look at the website, glowheating.com.au. You'd love it. Just changes your life having a fire pit. And they're all different sizes as well. Tane Milne should get 6 to 8 weeks. That is the opinion of Texter 376. The intent... injure Munster was clear to see. I don't know. I don't think I can argue that point.
Oh, well, the Mad Dog.
Intent?
The Mad Dog's going along the same line. Morning, boys. Just in relation to Tane Milne, he and Cam Munster had several meetings, obvious run-ins during the game last night. In 99% of cases when we see horrible tackles in the game, there is no intent to cause injury. I'm not so sure it was the case last night. It was malicious, it was full of intent, and should be dealt with accordingly. So the Mad Dog is on the same page there, Andrew.
All right, we're going to take a walk down memory lane in just a moment. Breakfast with Vossie and Maddie Russell here on the Home of Sport SEN. Hope you have a great Friday because we've started off on fire.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Play! Got it! What a catch!
This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
For us.
He scores!
On Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on this day.
Oh, I love that sting. It's got gravitas about it every time I hear it. I want to hear it again. On this day, Andrew, 1986, sadly, the Chernobyl disaster occurred. And here's one. 1954, Kurosawa Akira's feature film
Seven Samurai was released in Japan and is widely considered one of the greatest and most influential films ever made. Nathan Brooks, if you say so, I'll agree with you.
What was that? Big whoop. 1976 all-time great Graham Langlands announces his retirement following a club match between the St George Dragons and the West Magpies. A birthday today, 1945, Dick Johnson, Australian racing car driver, of course. Other birthdays, Chinese actor Jet Li. Seriously, Brooksy, what were you on after the game? Chinese actor Jet Li, Giancarlo Esposito's birthday, 1958, American actor, director, and producer known for his role as Gus Fring in Breaking Bad. But on this day yesterday, the Giants won, and we get to play their song going up to the news. Rock Carriana's coming up.
The town, it's the sound of the mighty.